particular moments just to really remember Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. We take communion every week just to really remember him. And what I wanted to do today was something a little different. We'd done this before earlier this summer with Carly. For those of you that don't know, this is Kenson and Shayla DeSeer.
Hi.
Hey.
So Kenson was hired on as our student ministry leader last month. Has it been a month? Now. Yeah, it's been a month now. And I just wanted to give them a chance really to tell their story. And as you really reflect on their story and how they fell in love with Jesus and decided to follow Jesus, I would like for you to also think about your life. You know, what really made you make the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life? So I'm just going to open it up for them really to have a chance just to tell your conversion stories and sort of how you came to the Lord.
Sure. Okay. So I was 16, and I was in South Florida, and my sister, who was part of the campus ministry, invited me out to a big congregational, like, worship singing. At that point, at 16, you know, I was just kind of just going to high school, doing my thing. I am the sixth of seven kids. My mother is a single mother. I was living with my older sister at that time, because we had moved from New York to South Florida. And I was just at the point where I was kind of looking. I didn't really know where to go. I never read the Bible. I didn't own a Bible. We didn't grow up, you know, going to church regularly. We pretty much went on Christmas and Easter. But I knew that there was more. I just didn't know what it was. And so I would, you know, maybe ask some of my friends at school, and one of my friends, you know, she was going to this other religion. I kind of tried it, but then it was just like there was something missing. And what I felt like was missing was Jesus for that particular religion. And, but I still didn't know where to go. So when my sister invited me, I started studying the Bible with some of the teen leaders at the South Florida Church of Christ. And for the first time, I was reading the Bible, and I felt like that's really what helped me. There's a scripture in Romans that talks about, you know, how will we know unless somebody is sent to really teach us? And for me, that's what it was. And when I was reading through John the first time, really reading about who Jesus was and who he is and the things that he did for my life, you know, like for me, I was raised, you know, like on the outside, I would show people that I was, you know, I was getting good grades, I was doing what I needed to do, but I knew there was a lot of things inside that I was faking it, you know, that I wasn't that good girl that I was pretending to my family that I was. And so when I really was faced with the scriptures and with the cross about what Jesus did and how he died for me, I wanted it. I wanted it so bad, like I've never wanted anything in my life. But at the same time, my family was like, no, you will not go to church. You will not continue to study the Bible, and you will definitely not get baptized. And I remember just crying and in my room and reading, and I was like, God, for the first time, I finally know this is what I really want to do, and I can't. And I remember telling him, God, if you would just let them let me go to church, I promise for the rest of my life, I will live for you. Just let me let them do this, you know, let me do this. And my family at that time relented a little bit. They allowed me to go to church and allowed me to study the Bible, but then baptism was absolutely not. It was a different religion than what we were used to, even though we didn't go to church. I couldn't understand, like, we barely go to church, you know? but it was different for them. And for me, I really needed to count the cost about if I'm going to put God first, if I'm going to put his word first. And I don't recommend this for the youth, but for me, I made a decision that despite what they said, I'm going to do this. And so I remember Wednesday after church, I remember telling teen leaders, I want to get baptized. I want to do this. And whatever the consequences are, I'm willing. And so I got baptized in July 1996, before my junior year of high school. And I came home from a teen diva on Friday night, and all my stuff was outside in a black bag. They would not open that door, and I had to figure out another place to live. But for me, it was what I it was a decision that I made. I had to own my own faith at, you know, 16, being kicked out the house for putting God first. But it really, there's nothing that I faced after that. I felt like God just really wanted to see, are you going to be the people pleaser? Are you going to continue to do what people say? At 16, at 20, at 30, at 40, are you going to still put God first? And so that's the decision that I made. And, you know, consequence of that was, you know, I was no longer invited into my house. And God worked it out. My family, who was one of the biggest persecutors, I feel like, for my faith, love the church. They love the, you know, the faith and being able to see that it wasn't just talk. You know, this is something that I live. This is something that we live. And the result of my husband and our kids, they are able to see the fruit of what God did.
Amen. Amen. Kenton?
Yep. You know, it's funny, as I've heard this story so many times, and hearing it today again, it just reminds me, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. It was in my senior year of high school, actually about a week before school started. You know, I went into my senior year with the intention of just changing my wardrobe, getting my car fixed up, and all of this was built up because what I wanted to do my senior year, what I wanted to do was just live for me, you know, be all about girls, be all about my last senior year fling in high school. That was my intention. A week into school, a friend of mine that we were friends for about maybe my freshman and junior year, but then we got into a fight. And we haven't spoken. And during this time, he was reached out to, and he made a decision to make Jesus Lord and became a disciple. And one night, this was a Friday night, I'll never forget it, because that night I almost got arrested, because I was hanging out with friends of mine, and you know, none of us had driver's license. We were driving in a car that probably was stolen. And, you know, I mean, everything that could have went wrong, it did. You know, we almost got into a big scuffle at the carnival. It was just one of those crazy nights. And I came home, it was about midnight, and the phone rings. And it was my friend Killis, you know, who I haven't heard from in almost 2 years. And, you know, he called me up and he was like, listen, man, I was just, you know, I was cutting my hair, and I was thinking about how I used to cut your hair, because he was my barber, and I was just thinking about you and just, you know, wanted to give you a call. Now, I'm on the other end just thinking, this is unreal, because we haven't spoken in almost 2 years. It's weird that you're calling me at this hour tonight. But we began to talk, and, you know, he started asking me questions about life or whatever, and then he just went straight to it. He said, man, let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Now, I grew up not in a, you know, we didn't go to church a lot in church. I mean, I went to private school when I was from kindergarten to third grade, and that was all the church I got from that point. Everything else was just me living my life. I knew of God in a general term, but I didn't read my Bible. I didn't, you know, I wasn't around Christians or anyone that can influence me in that way. So I knew automatically, just from what I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven. And that was a very clear thing to me. And so when I, you know, once I admitted, I could probably go to hell. And he goes, well, you know, you have an opportunity to change that. And he's like, you know, I would like to invite you out to church. He said, because then he started sharing with me his conversion story and what happened to him. And so the following Sunday, I went to church, and when I got there, I was just so amazed by what I saw. Now, I did expect to see, you know, people singing and, you know, people, you know, looking Christian-like. What I didn't anticipate was to see so many teens worshiping God. It was something I really haven't seen before. And their relationships among them was very genuine. And it was something, again, I haven't seen before. A lot of those kids I've seen in school. Like, I know that guy. I don't know him personally, but I've seen him around in high school. And I know that guy, and I know that girl. And it was just, like, wow. And so after just sitting through the fellowship and just kind of, you know, connecting with people, you know, my friend Killison said, hey, you know, would you like to study the Bible? Now, I didn't know what study the Bible meant. I thought it meant literally from Genesis to Revelation. So I wasn't really, you know, excited about that. But then he kind of broke down and said, no, we're just going to show you some scriptures about who Jesus is and why we've decided to do what we've done. And so I was like, okay. So it was him and another friend of mine who was also a senior in high school. And we started looking through the scriptures. And the more I started looking at the scriptures, the more it became alive to me. And I think that was what's missing. I just didn't have that connection with who God was. But looking at hearing it from these teens and seeing how they applied it to their lives, and I seeing what they've been doing, it started to take hold of me. And I started looking through the scriptures. And again, my motivation at first was because I was afraid to go into hell. Like, that's what was my initial motivation. But as we started looking at Jesus himself and started looking at the cross and looking at what my sins have done, it was very clear to me that I was lost and I need to come home. Like, I need to do this. And I was inspired by people around me. Again, I was inspired by the teen workers that we had at the time. I was inspired by the teens. And about 2 weeks later, in 1996, I got baptized. And it's been an incredible ride. I know I made a lot of mistakes as a young Christian. I burnt a lot of bridges, particularly with my family. And so my family didn't support my decision. And, you know, one of my biggest challenges I faced early was my dad getting ready to kick me out the house. And it was like one of my first real tests to see if my faith is genuine. And I didn't realize that at the time that that's what was going on. But when he was deadline throwing me out the house, and I told him, I'm not going to leave the church because you're throwing me out the house. You know, he decided to forget it and he left. And, you know, I look back at that time and that was it. That was the beginning of my true conversion, man. Yes, I got baptized and yes, I made Jesus Lord, but it was when I realized that I was willing to go through anything for Christ, anything for this faith that I believe in. And being a teenager, I know that's not something that we face every day. You know, you don't say, this is what I'm willing to die for. I'm willing to give this up for. But that was it for me. Like, I knew once I made that connection with Christ, there was nothing else that was going to be any greater. And so, you know, 22 years later, two kids later, a mortgage later, and a marriage later, you know, we're still here. And it's because of our faith in Christ and knowing that he's with us to the very end.
Amen. Amen. So what would be a verse, maybe, or you don't have to cite it verbatim, but a verse that really just moves you about the cross for both of you, something that really just always brings you back to Jesus? Because it's been a couple of decades, and you're still faithful disciples. You know, so what would be a verse or two that really impacted you about Jesus on the cross?
So for me, it was it's Romans 10, 14 through 17. It says the good news about Jesus was brought to me by my sister. But it says, for faith comes from hearing the word about Jesus. And when I think about this, it's like, for me, it was reading the Bible for myself. You know, I had the teen leaders to share with me. I had my sister to share with me. But it wasn't until I cracked open that good book and started reading through John and just the testimonies about Jesus and the things that he did. That's where my own faith started. So for me, I think Romans is what brings it to life, that faith comes from hearing the word, which is Christ.
Yeah, for me, it's Psalms 125, verse 1, and it says, for those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, endurable and is endurable and is unshakable forever. And for me, it was putting my trust Because that is so hard to do, especially you talking about a 17-year-old to put his trust in something that he didn't know. It's just too much, you know, to really think about. But that was what really carried me when I think about Jesus and the cross, is that I'm putting my trust in him despite what I see. And it's carried me, you know, for all these years.
Amen. Well, as we take communion, you know, I love their story. When they first told me, I was just blown away, you know, by the fact that, you know, a lot of us talk about, you know, Luke 14, you know, Jesus says, if you're not willing to love me more than father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. A lot of us read that, but haven't had to really live that, you know. But to hear their story, they had to live that. They had to make the decision, you know, to make Jesus Lord, come hell or high water, you know, come being kicked out of the house, not knowing, you know, what was going to happen the next day or where I was going to be able to go. So I think, you know, as we take the bread that represents his broken body today and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood, you know, I think about the verse in Hebrews that says, remember the early days when you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property and you endured with those who were in prison. You know, let's just remember what Jesus did for us and why we fell in love with him in the first place, because he is a savior that is worthy to be remembered and worthy to be worshiped. So why don't we have a prayer, and then the ushers will pass the bread representing his body and the fruit of the vine representing his blood.